hour of 9 o'clock having arrived, the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability will be called to order. Will the clerk please call the roll? Present. A total of 7 members answering the roll. We will proceed with our business. A couple of personal notes before we delve into the heart of the agenda. The first is, I'm sure all of us were saddened to hear of the medical circumstances that surround Representative Myers and his recent diagnosis, but I'm sure that I speak for all of us here in attendance that he and his family are in our thoughts and prayers, and we're looking for him to make a complete and speedy recovery. So keep Representative Myers close to your heart. The other matter that I wish to raise is that to my right is my page for the day, Rachel Lynn. She's from Deerfield. She'll be my wingman and consigliere for the day. Anything, if you feel the need to keep me in line, please tell Rachel first and she'll take care of it. All right. I know Senator Severson came with a whole list of things. With that, we'll now hear the heart of the agenda, which is the FY 2011 economic forecast and revenue estimate and the FY 2010 revenue update. Ed and Jim, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Senator. I might add that I, too, went through prostate cancer 4 years ago, and you can survive. It's a long process, but they have a great success ratio with it. What I'm going to do is quickly cover some of the highlights about the U.S. economy and Illinois economy to sort of give you the setting and what kind of environment the state's going to be operating in over the next year. And to do that, we're going to use this handout and go through some of the graphs that are presented there. Chart 1 shows the national gross domestic product, and you can see the difference as we go through fiscal year 2010 compared to last fiscal year. In fiscal 2009, every quarter the economy of the United States was in decline. In the first two quarters we have data for fiscal year 2010, you can see growth has resumed. In fact, in the last quarter, which ended at the end of last year, we had almost 6% growth, 5.9%. A lot of that had to do with government spending, but we also saw a little better consumer and better business spending than had originally been anticipated. We do expect for the rest of this fiscal year, the quarter that's just ending now in March, that we'll see growth probably in about the 3% range. So we have come out of the recession. When the dates are finally settled, it looks like we probably came out in July of last year. When you compare that in chart 2 with this recession with previous ones in the post-World War period, you'll see a couple of things. One, this has been a very long recession. In the 90 and 2001 recession, they both were only 8 months in existence. This one will be 18 or 19 months, which is more comparable to what we saw in 73 and 81, which were both 16 months in duration. This time, unlike the last two mild recessions where the consumer and housing held up, that's been the main weakness in this period. If you look at consumer attitudes, which often lead to spending, you can see how low that they got. By early this year, we were running around 25 on this index. You go back to 2000, we were about 130. So that's how devastated the consumer was. Now, we have improved a little, but nothing of a great magnitude and appeared to be leveling off. Now, there was a very good reason for consumers to be so pessimistic. One was, of course, the housing bubble, and you can see in chart four there what's happened to both median and average home prices. As the bubble broke and housing prices start coming down, people who had been using home equity loans to finance education, remodernization, et cetera, no longer could do that. So housing prices have come down sharply, which is not typical historically. And, of course, a lot of people got into trouble with foreclosures. I personally feel this. My mother passed away 2 years ago. I've still got her condo on the market, and it's the lowest price of any that are around the neighborhood. So it's been a very weak market, and differs, of course, geographically quite a bit. But it wasn't only home prices that had stifled the consumer. It also was what was happening to their savings. If you turn to chart five, you can see that from the end of 2007 to March of 2009, equity prices as measured by the Dow Jones were halved. And therefore, people were saying, well, I no longer have a 401k, I've got a 201k. Now, typically, stock prices are a leading indicator of economic activity. And they reached their low in March, and they're back now, and by this measure, by about 60% or a little more. So that's a very positive factor. If we look at business spending, we saw 12 months in a row through July of last year of actual contraction in manufacturing. However, in the last 7 months, again, we began to see some strength, and we've actually shown some expansion in this sector. A lot of it has to do with that the rebuilding inventories, etc. So that's a situation that has turned around. The biggest part of the economy, however, in chart 7 is the service sector or the non-manufacturing index. And there we've seen a contraction for 11 straight months through October, and then sort of held around. Actually, the first real positive we got just came out for February. So that finally looks like that's starting to show some improvement. Similarly, exports, we had in Illinois fifth in exports, we had a very strong trend upward from 2003 to 2008, and then the bottom fell out as the weakness in the United States was felt throughout the world. However, in recent months, we appear to have leveled off, and actually there's some signs that this may be improving. On chart 9, it shows that monetary policy, and they're meeting again today, has been very stimulative throughout this period to put liquidity in the economy to get through the financial crisis. In fact, it was the summer of 2007, 6 months before the recession started, that the Fed brought interest rates down to just about zero, 0 to 0.25%, and we're still there today. There is some concern that if this is prolonged too long, that it's going to start showing up in inflation. You've already seen, in anticipation of that, some commodity prices rising very rapidly. And in fact, the consumer price index, which a year ago at this time was negative, has turned to a rate of about 2.6% above a year ago. Not a bad inflation number, but there is some concern that as the economy continues to expand, we could see somewhat higher prices than we've been seeing in recent years. The crux of whether or not, however, the economy, economic recovery and expansion continues centers in the employment sector. This obviously has been a jobless recovery and a little weaker in Illinois than the nation as a whole. Chart 11 shows U.S. employment, and particularly the bottom line, the establishment survey, which actually goes to companies and looks at their payrolls, has lost 8.6 million jobs since the recession started. I might add, though, as we get into the next chart looking at Illinois, that by early 2005, we had recovered all the jobs nationally that we had lost in the previous recession. That's not true if you look at Chart 12, Illinois. We never did recover the jobs we lost in the 2001 recession before we saw another decline. So Illinois is lagging the nation and has been significantly weaker. On Chart 13, each year, and I think you've all received a copy, we ask Moody'sEconomy.com to take an independent look at Illinois' economy. And on this chart, we show what their forecast is on an annual basis for Illinois. It shows that Illinois will not return to even its pre-recession level of employment for a few years yet. In fact, this gap between the nation and Illinois perhaps shows up more clearly in the unemployment rates itself. In January, which is the latest that just came out a little while ago for Illinois, we were at 11.3%. The last 2 months for the nation, it's been 9.7%. So it's a rather wide gap. When you go back to 2006, there were a few months there where we actually did better than the nation. We think that this gap is going to continue between the nation and Illinois as we are lagging in this economic recovery. The next chart just shows a couple alternatives to changes in the economy. If you look at the baseline, or the most likely, that's given a 65% chance of occurrence, we can see that the economy continues to rise through this fiscal year and next at a moderate to slightly slower than moderate pace. There is an optimistic scenario where we get a nice rebound that's given a 20% chance, or what they call a V-shaped recovery, but those odds seem to be going down. A pessimistic outlook, which now is lowered to only 15% chance, says that while we get a couple of quarters of growth here, we fall back into a decline before we show meager growth again, or what they call a W recession. Our feeling is that we're probably going along the conservative but moderate economic growth this year and next, and we've taken Chart 16, which is that baseline forecast, and broken down GMP with their various rates of growth. What this means for receipts is that they're still, from the economically sensitive sectors of the economy, going to be very weak. On Chart 17, we get a study which we participate in each month, and that's how states feel about their finances. And we reached an all-time low earlier this year in state finances. And while it appears that we bottomed out and are coming up slightly, we're still far below what we've seen in the past. So even though we're in an economic recovery, it's going to be some period of time before we can get back to anywhere near where we were previously. And that's the kind of setting we're going to be operating in, and Jim's got the numbers that go with that forecast.
Thanks, Ed. I know that some of you have 9:30 commitments, so I'll try to, and the Senate goes in at 10, so I'll try to go through my section quickly here. Page 21 shows on a month-by-month basis how revenues have performed relative to the same month of last year. We presented both with federal sources and without, simply because of the volatility that federal sources contribute to monthly revenues. In total, general funds are up $225 million. However, that's only because federal sources is masking the underlying weakness of the economic areas. Excluding federal source growth of $1.24 billion, everything else is down to disastrous $1.015 billion. A more detailed look at each of the sources can be seen on page 22, where personal income tax is down 9.2% through February, corporate income tax down 11.7%, and sales tax down 10.8. It's only until you get halfway through the sheet here where you see federal sources up the $1.24 billion, or 43.5%. So clearly it's kind of a have and have not scenario in terms of how revenues have come in thus far this fiscal year. Similar to some of the things that Ed has demonstrated on his charts, we're starting to also see a clear indication that the bottom has indeed been reached. The two charts on page 23 show on an annual percentage change of Illinois employment basis how we have probably reached the bottom, and we're starting to see a gentle trend upward, although I will caution that we are still well in negative territory, as we are when we combine the receipts of the big three, personal income tax, corporate, and sales tax, on the chart there on the right. Again, you can see that we're starting to come off of the lowest of the lows, but still squarely in negative territory. So at best, gradual improvement in the rate of loss can be hoped for by the end of the fiscal year. The next chart does a good job, I think, of also indicating that, yes, it will take some time, but we probably are at least at the very early stages of improvement. You can see by the chart, the first shaded gray bar reflects where we were back in the last recession of 2001. And it's not until about four quarters after the official ending of that recession that you can actually see sales tax and personal income tax starting to improve. Well, moving ahead now to this last recession, which of course was probably more than double the length that than the 2001 recession was, but you can also see the indication that the larger major sources appear to have been bottoming out within the last quarter or so, and may be poised for a gentle uptick here as we enter into fiscal year 2011. Again, it'll take several more months before this is confirmed, but certainly we're seeing a slight deviation from the steady downward trend that we had been seeing. In terms of our actual revenue forecast, on page 25, you'll see that the Commission estimates 2010 revenues to be $27.895 billion. Unfortunately, that is a loss of $1.249 billion over the previous year, or 4.3%. Again, the economic sources bear the responsibility. Personal income tax is estimated to end the year down 7%, corporate income tax approximately 25%, and sales tax about 8.5%. Even though federal sources is up considerably thus far, spending out of general funds will significantly taper off as spending will occur from the non-general funds, such as tobacco settlement funds and the health care provider relief funds once the $250 million in short-term borrowing takes place. So we will end the year with federal sources being up a modest $176 million. So again, overall, the fall off is $1.249 billion. Page 26 just shows how our forecast stacks up with the adopted budget back in the summer. The 2010 budget was formulated on a revenue estimate of $29.299 billion. Our forecast is $1.404 billion below that, and that compares with the governor's released revenue forecast last week. They're down $1.304 billion. So between us and the Bureau, there's only $100 million difference. That is outlined on page 27, the following page. You know, again, we're looking at less than one-half of 1% difference, but personal income tax for this year, we're up a little bit over their forecast. Corporate, we're down a little bit. Inheritance tax, we're a little more conservative, a little bit higher in other sources. They seem to be unrealistically high in their estimates of riverboat transfers as well as other transfers, but by and large, the forecasts, economically at least, are quite similar for 2010. Well, what do we expect for 2011? We're kind of going to dub this the year in transition. That's going to be the moniker we'll assign here. And by that, I mean that revenues are expected to improve off their lowest levels suffered over the last 2 years, but still remain weak despite entering into the expansion phase. While a third consecutive year of declines is not expected for the economic sources, we are anticipating only a growth forecast for personal, corporate, and sales combined of $363 million. And we probably won't see larger revenue growth until after the economy strengthens, probably not until fiscal year 2012. So our growth forecast for personal income tax is 1.6%. Corporate is 10%, which seems considerably high considering the current receipt patterns we've seen over the last 2 years. However, we have seen that historically corporate income tax has most closely coincided with the timing of recessions and recoveries. And if that holds true, then measurable growth should be anticipated next year. What holds us back a little bit is the fact that during the last recession, we did have 3 consecutive years of fall off in corporate income tax receipts. So we're still anticipating decent growth of 10%, considerably less than what the Bureau is anticipating. They're at about 19.8%. Sales tax, we're forecasting about 1.6% growth. The real problems come next year from the non-economic sources. We all know that the federal source estimates for next year impacted by the end of the federal stimulus, the ARRA program. We're going to lose $1.426 billion if that is not extended. Also, we swept $352 million this year. Unless similar legislation is passed, that will not recur. There needs to be a date change in the decoupling of the inheritance tax that was undertook a few years ago. If that isn't fixed, we could stand to lose about $200 million. And then finally, there's very little, if any, growth expected from the non-economic sources. So on page 29, the 2011 estimate racks up to be $26.557 billion, which is a fall off of $1.338 billion from our 2010 revenue estimate. Again, the federal sources, with the stimulus ending on December 2010, really is the cause for that decline, as federal sources are expected to fall $1.448 billion. So even though the economic sources are forecast to improve somewhat, all of that gain is more than wiped off with the fall off in federal. Page 30 compares our forecast with that of the Governor's Office of Management and Budget outlined last week. Again, by and large, the overall estimates are very similar. We are $150 million below the Bureau. And again, that ties back to the corporate income tax estimate, which I indicated earlier. They're anticipating about a 19.8% increase. I'm not saying that that couldn't occur, but it just seems at this point to be a little more aggressive than what we're comfortable with, although we're still anticipating a 10% increase. So what is the 2011 budget plan that the governor outlined last week? On page 31, it lays out in a kind of a cash basis format here how the 2011 budget was introduced last week. They have a revenue forecast of $27.444 billion. To which spending of $32.116 billion will yield the operating deficit of $4.672 billion. I'm looking at the column on the right. That then is to be made whole with voucher payment notes of the same amount, $4.672 billion. Unfortunately, even with these actions, we will still end the year owing about $5.868 billion in bills. So there's essentially four pillars to the governor's proposal for 2011. The first is that he plans on generating $267 million in savings from pension stabilization. We don't really know the details. We're assuming it's some type of a two-year pension system. The second is the local government distributive fund. The amounts that locals get from the income tax will be reduced from one-tenth of net income taxes to only one-seventh. That will generate $308 million for retention to the state. And then again, the $4.672 billion in what is termed voucher payment notes. Again, details are unclear, but we've been led to believe we're talking about a host of items here. Fund sweeps, intra-fund borrowing, short-term borrowing, and various other market instruments yet to be defined, which may or may not include a tobacco securitization stream. It's pretty open-ended at this point. And then finally, the governor's introduced budget does include the anticipation that congressional action will take place to extend the ARRA program. The value of that extension would be approximately $737 million. So that essentially lays out the 2011 budget plan that the governor proposed last week. The next page, you know, everybody seems to have a number in terms of what's, you know, what's the budget hole. You've anywhere from 11 billion to 13 billion. They're probably all right. This is just the way that, we very quickly can kind of come up in that same same area. You know, we have about 5.244 billion in one-time revenues we're utilizing this year that will not be available next year. In addition, we have to pay 800 million in the repayment of the pension notes that we just sold back in January. Even though we're having asset smoothing for the pension system, it's still going to result in an additional 531 million in needed pension funding. And then also the nearly 6 billion in carry forward at the end of 2010. When this is all added up, you're looking somewhere in the neighborhood of the $12.5 billion. So we would be right in that ballpark of the 13 billion that is commonly referenced. Page 33 is an awful, I guess we determined an ugly chart.
Can I ask you to interrupt for one second before Senator Trotter leaves? We have to have a motion. We have to actually take some action to adopt this forecast and revenue estimate, and we're retrieving Senator Representative Belloc. So if you don't mind, we're going to, Senator Trotter moves, do adopt, seconded by Representative McCarthy. If the clerk could please add Senator Frerichs to the roll. We're going to, Senator Trotter asks for leave to open the roll. He votes aye. Representative Belloc votes aye as well. And thank you very much. Sorry for the interruption.
Okay, again, on page 33, you know, this is a really ugly table. It shows that over the last 10 years, we've had 5 years of actual year-over-year declines, and three of them in the forecast horizon here, 2009, 10, and 11. Even if the federal extension of the recovery or the stimulus program does come to pass, we're still looking at a $601 million year-over-year decline for 2011. So there's certainly a lot of red on this chart. Page 34, it's basically the data that coincides with that earlier table, but I will just note that the estimate for 2011, the 26.557, if you look at how revenues have come in over the last 10 years or so, we're basically back to 2005 or 2006 levels. So that gives you some indication in terms of how far revenues have fallen. What remains is various, you know, summary tables, historical tables. I will skip to page 37. We discuss a little bit about the capital program. The $31 billion capital program, the different funding levels are on here. I just wanted to note that as of February 28th, about $1.88 billion in bonds have been sold, with about $394 million of actual expenditures. So clearly there's a long way to go here before the capital plan really starts to kick in. One of the reasons that you know, there's probably been a delay, it has to do with the revenue streams that are funding the capital plan. Video gaming, of course, we all know from our December meeting, there's been impacts due to a number of local communities that have decided to opt out. But more importantly, the city of Chicago has yet to opt in. The following table actually puts some cost estimates to this in terms of what kind of revenue would be lost. You can see that page 39, we would go from an estimate of 287.4 to 533.8 million down to about 185.3 to 344.1 in terms of the revenues used to fund the capital program. Back to 38, of course, you know, the management of the lottery was expected to be selected by 2010. But in January, that was extended to mid-September of 2010, with implementation not anticipated in 2011. And we don't know how long after that it'll take before some efficiency measures could or would be implemented. Coincidentally, though, the Powerball multi-state game is doing quite well, and we could see maybe $25 million of unanticipated revenue being available for transfer to the capital projects fund. So that would be good, and that maybe even next year some additional money being transferred. Sales and use tax expansion, you know, we increased the definition to certain drinks, hygiene products, and candies. It's still early. Looks like we're on track for about $53 million, but again, it's early and we very well could reach the forecast of $65 next year. Liquor tax, of course, you know, this is hung up in lawsuits. It was estimated to bring in about $108 million. We've only seen about $8.6 going to the capital projects fund. $29.2 is hung up in the protest fund. And then increased motor vehicle fees. A lot of these haven't even just started in January, so it's still far too early to conclude anything in terms of their performance. But we've gotten about $30 million in thus far from the increased motor vehicle fees. So again, I just wanted to point that out in terms of what the status was of the funding for the capital plan. What remains is just a, kind of a hodgepodge of various tables and analysis that we've done that are very commonly asked our office, and we thought we would just throw them out here so that people had them for quick reference. For example, on page 40, you'll see that a 1% increase in individual income tax we think would generate about $2.9 billion over the course of a full year, 2.7, a little bit less if July 1 implementation date were used. Corporate is there as well on the bottom. Page 41. Again, kind of a hodgepodge of things here. We have the personal income tax rate, corporate income tax rate, sales tax rates for all the states. Unemployment rate, currently we're seventh highest at 11.3%. Per capita tax collections, we're kind of in the middle, 24th highest. Debt outstanding, not surprisingly, we're a little bit higher, we're 12th highest. And then expenditures per capita, we're 41st. We have some employment information by category, such as construction, manufacturing, trade, et cetera. Not surprisingly, if you look at construction and manufacturing, in 2009, we've suffered 15.2% declines in construction and 12.1% in manufacturing. And I think I'll stop there. There's some other things here. Perhaps the last page might be of interest, page 44. The highlighted line there shows that Illinois is the second lowest rated state in terms of Moody's, S&P, and Fitch. Obviously not a good thing, but is indicative of the current budgetary dilemma that we're facing. And that is that concludes my comments.
Thank you for that cheery start to the day. Surprised I'm still sitting on my seat, not curled up on the floor. Are there questions of members of the commission? Senator Severson.
Okay. On the employment numbers that you had given with the loss of, and I guess it shows a little bit on your final chart where you show the where you show the drop in manufacturing so significantly, do we take in consideration the loss of the better paying jobs and the recovery now in lower paying jobs? So when we look at the employment numbers, do we also look at the underemployment or the average wages per worker and how that is going to be slowing this recovery down dramatically more than past recoveries?
Yes, the wage or level of payroll is one of the factors that we utilize in our modeling. So yes, that is the actual number of jobs is taken into account, as is the value of those jobs. So yes.
And do you pull out government versus non-government? I mean, no government jobs are growing dramatically and wages are growing. Do we pull the government jobs or wages out of that?
No, because it's kind of like a blended rate. I mean, revenues, we don't really care from the receipt side of life whether it comes in from manufacturing or government employees or whoever. So it's kind of all blended together. So if there is a migration from one to the other, it will show up in the actual numbers that we're looking at, but we're unable to really break that out.
Okay. Let's see. I had a question on page 11 with the export issue. How much is the dollar drop on the world market? How is that affecting these? These exports show that we're down considerably, and I would think if the dollar is dropped as much as it has internationally, that would indicate we should have better exports. If the dollar rebounds, is that going to make things more problematic for us?
That is a factor, but I think the biggest factor by far is the fact that the reason exports are dropping is because the world's economy is so weak that their demand for U.S. products is down because of that. The dollar actually, you take the euro or whatever, has strengthened quite a bit recently from the lows that it had been at. That certainly is a factor. But one thing that should help Illinois exports is farm prices are doing pretty well. So that should help out in the dollar value of the exports that come about, too. So the dollar is a factor, but I think by far is the turnaround in world economies that will help out the export market rather than anything else.
So you don't see the value, the fact that the dollar has dropped so much, is having a big impact on increasing exports or helping improve picture?
I put it this way, it kept it from getting even worse, because that's a positive when the dollar drops, at least in the short
term. From an export standpoint.
Right.
On a short-term basis.
Right.
So, and do you anticipate that continuing? Is the dollar going to continue to stay weak, or will it get weaker because of the amount of debt that's growing?
I think a lot depends right now on what happens with the euro, because with the problems in Greece, which could spread to Spain and Portugal. This is what's causing the dollar to improve recently because of the uncertainty that's happening with the euro and whether they. The only one.
Representative McCarthy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ed, on page 17, you talked about the unemployment rates, and you show us exceeding the national rate, but did you have any opinions on that as to why? It seems like it's been our trend, but have we looked into why that would be the trend?
Well, some of the highest unemployment rates in the country are in the north central region. Partly it's because we still have a higher percentage in manufacturing than the nation as a whole, although that has been coming down over the years. We're now about 11% of manufacturing, where we used to be like 15% several years ago.
I mean, 11% of our jobs are based in manufacturing.
Right.
Okay.
Even though we've been losing them proportionately, we're getting closer to the average for the nation. But we're still higher. I mean, you take the states that do worse than us are Ohio and Michigan, of course, which are even more heavily concentrated in manufacturing. But there's other factors, too, and I think part of that was in the, which you all got a copy of, is the Moody's.com, is that we've losing a lot of jobs that typically we've been fairly strong in. For example, with all the mergers that have been going on in the financial sector, particularly banks, we've lost a lot of jobs in those institutions as Bank of America bought out, the LaSalle Bank, et cetera, that we're no longer as much of an important factor in that area as we were maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
And, of course, construction.
All right, page 20, the state tax receipt survey.
Yeah.
The graph, it has nothing labeled for what's on the left, that 0 to 80. What does that represent?
It's basically just the index that ISI, it's just the index that ISI utilizes. I'm not certain as to what the actual numbers.
So we went from like 70 down to 10.
Right.
We know we did that, but we don't know what 70 and 10 are. Or?
Actually, Jim's one of there's 16 states, and they ask feelings about what the trend is in your sales tax, what it is in corporate income tax. Each month, they go to these 16 states, which are geographically representative of the United States, and they create this index. You know, they'll say on a scale of 1 to 10 compared to last month, how do you see your receipts coming in this month? And they put that together in an index
between 0 and 5, and basically right. Indicating, you know,
is it in reference to growth of these receipts? So
no, just in terms of performance. It's rather subjective. They just ask.
We can 5 is a very low score, of course, but. And it's a very negative number then, right?
Well, we're at 17.7 is what the total survey would have had, I think, the last in February, 17.7. So it's more of an indicator in terms of relative to where you've been, where are you at? Well, we're considerably down from where we were back in 2006. It's not a...
Okay. Does that mean in 2006 these people questioned, they felt better about the economy, they felt it was growing?
They saw the receipts doing well. I mean, I would equate it, since we're asked between 0 and 5, I would equate an 80 to approximately a 4 and a 20 to, about a 1. So on a scale of 1 to 5, most states are right now saying about a 1.
Okay.
That would be a way to look at it.
All right, then on page 25, as far as the estimates for the riverboat receipts, that drop of 4.7%, that's in addition to the drop from – that's compared from 1 year to the past, right? I mean, so that's in addition to, like, the 22%. So they're really down from, like, 2 years ago, much more than that 4.7, correct?
Oh, yes. If you look on that one – on page 34, that's where you really get the feel of how far gaming revenues have fallen. We do lump in the $50 million from the anticipated 10th license payment. We should get that in March or April here. So that 460 really reflects 410. So, you know, 410 versus last year's 430 versus 2008's 564. Now, going back to 2005 and 2006, you're approaching almost $700 million. So, yes, we've fallen off significantly.
So would it be fair to say that there's been a pretty big drop since the smoking ban, but there was also evidence that there was dropping before then? Maybe not as precipitously, but certainly
That would be a fair assumption, yes.
Okay. Then on 33, the numbers for FY09 and FY10?
Yes.
The minus 515 and minus 1.249 billion. Those do include the federal stimulus funds in there, correct?
Yes, they do.
They do.
Yes,
where the do. Then you show it for the approximation for 11 is with and without the or at least of the 1.338, 601 is a reduction from the federal funds.
If the AARA is extended a full year, we will go from losing 1.338 to losing 601. So the value of that additional half a year is about $737 million, somewhere in that effect.
Okay. All right, then on 38, that liquor tax, I mean, it seems like the two funds that they're holding the money in while there's litigation, they add up to about $37.8 million, if the numbers there are correct. And yet we still show a revenue looking at $108. I mean, it doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, if we've been holding them the entire year, and we've added up to $38 million, and yeah, we still are estimating $108 million. Is that correct?
Well, 29 8.2 is the amount that has gone into the protest fund. 8.6 has been deposited into the capital provider fund, or capital fund.
So that's 37.8 so far.
Right, but it didn't start until, was it September or October of this year? So, you know, we've only had...
If we were looking at it, so it's only going to be about 9 months that we're going to have of it, is what you're saying? And we're about halfway through it?
Right.
So we're down, but we're not as bad as it looks then.
Right.
So if it was right on target, it would probably be about 54, you think, now?
Right. If the money had been going into the capital fund rather than into the protest fund, it looks like we'd be a little bit shy of the 108, but, you know, probably getting close.
And these numbers are end of February?
End of February, yes.
So I'm September, October, November, December. So it's 6 months. And that's 6 out of 9. So really, we should be closer to two-thirds of that.
Well, the figures here represent annualizations, like the 108. That would be a full year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we knew we weren't...
Right.
In the estimates, we knew we were going to get about 75% of that.
These are all annualizations.
Okay, and then the other chart on page 41, it shows that we are 41st in per capita expenditure. So the first look at that number, you'd say, well, actually, we're doing pretty well. We spend a lot less per person than a lot of other states. Am I looking at that correctly, or...?
Well, it depends on your perspective. Some may say, you know, we're not doing very well at all. We're not spending enough. You know, it all depends on. But it's 41st highest.
But if people come to us and they say we still have these bloated payrolls and things like that, this is a number that says we really don't compared to other states.
Yes, compared to other states, yes, we would appear to be on a per capita basis towards the lower end.
That's excluding local governments, education, property taxes. So...
It's
not, that's just state spending.
Is that? That's correct, yes.
So it does not include the expenditures that we use our property tax for? That's basically true? So
no.
Are they in other states, though?
No. These would all be.
So this is still 41st out of the 50?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, I think Senator Severs is correct about that. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? I have one quick question. Do you expect the employment cost index to exceed 2% the coming year?
What?
2%. The ECI. Do you expect it to exceed 2% the coming year?
I haven't really looked at the employment cost index recently.
Okay. I'd be curious about the answer to that question, only because I have a bill, 3776. Which establishes a trigger for when the ECI hits 2%. I think we're currently just a shade under it.
Okay.
So that when the recovery begins, then it would automatically trigger a percentage of the revenue growth that we realize toward the unfunded pension liability.
Oh.
So that's why
I'll take a look at that.
So that's why, in fact, I've asked Dan if we could war game out several scenarios for that. So. We have that automatic trigger in place. So, Representative McCarthy.
Thank you, Jim. That reminded me of something. On that pension reduction in the formula payment that we have to make that the governor is counting on, where was that in the presentation again?
That is on page 31. The right column, second red number on the right column, where it says pension contribution savings from pension stabilization, $267 million.
Okay, that's for all of next fiscal year then. So they're saying that the FY11 payment is this year. So he's hoping to make it less by $267 million due to reforms in the systems.
Yes.
And have they been spelled out?
No.
Do you know how the estimate was that done by GOMB or was it done by CAGFA?
Must have been GOMB.
Okay. Well, we'll, we'll say a prayer. All right, thank you.
Are there any other questions?
I got about 12 million.
If not, will the clerk please continue with the roll?
Costello. Senator Brady.
Sherry voted aye.
She voted yes.
Ella voted aye.
Senator Frerichs.
Aye.
Senator McCarthy. Senator Murphy. Representative Myers. Representative Nekritz. Representative Poe. Representative Riley.
Aye.
Senator Schoenberg.
Aye.
Senator Severson.
Aye.
Senator Trotter.
Total of 8 members voting yes, none voting no, none voting present. The forecast and revenue estimate has been accepted. There's no further business before the commission. Commission now stands adjourned. Our next hearing is Tuesday, April 20th, 2010, the hour of 10 a.m. in room 212 Raymond. Of the State House.
Raymond, write down this number.
Commission now stands adjourned.
They're going to put that.